despite the coronavirus crisis. Cox for Cancer, the cancer charity, is still doing some great stuff. And I've got Ben Cameron on the line from Cox for Cancer. Ben, it's been a difficult few months. So what have you been up to?
Yeah, morning, Rob. It hasn't been easy, that's for sure. We've been down here in the shipyard in Toulon, locked up with the crew. But needless to say, training has gone on, and the turbo train has been seeing some action. But I think more importantly, we've spent the time trying to organise some events for Cox for Cancer for this year.
Yeah, I guess you won't be having a bike ride this year, or will you?
Or three this year. Sort of feeding back from some information we had from riders in the past, trying to keep it a bit more local, starting off with a one-day event on the 27th, 27th of June, should I say, sorry, going from the shipyard in the Monaco Marine Shipyard in La Seine down to the one in La Ciotta by the hills in Provence. And then following on from that will be the last ride, leaving La Ciotta on the around the 4th of October, I think we're aiming for this year, 4th or the 7th, depending on people's schedules, going up and around and ending on Tibet as usual, taking in Ventoux and Le Bonnet.
It's very enterprising, so you'll be looking for some riders then?
We are definitely looking for some riders, yeah. I mean, we've got some of the old faces coming, but I think with it being more local and some options for people to drop in and drop out of the route, and perhaps a bit more sociable, we're looking to spread the net. So anyone who hasn't ridden before and wants a bit of a challenge in a great cause, just get in touch.
Right, and hopefully restrictions on large crowds will be relaxed towards the end of the year, so maybe a big party in the offing sometime.
Oh, I think there's always a party at the end of our rides, Rob, you know that.
OK, Ben, for more information, how do people get in touch?
Pretty easily. You can contact me via the website, ben@cogsforcancer.org, and that's the number four, not the spelling four. Or feel free to give me a call on 0629 310786.
Okay, Ben, thanks very much, and no doubt you'll be keeping us up to date with the activities as they progress.
Absolutely, Rob. Yeah, it'd be great to chat with you as the rides go on.
Time for this morning's comedy, and with all this talk of aliens, here's a bit of Red Dwarf.
Thanks to enlightenment have arrived on the Daedalic. Confirm initial speculation, there is absolutely nothing of any value or interest here. It's one of the old class 2 ship-to-surface vessels, the very model, in fact, that was withdrawn due to major flight design flaws. Crew 3. 1 series 4000 mechanoid, almost burnt out, give it maybe 3 years. Nothing of salvageable value. Ah, Phyllis Sapiens, bred from the domestic house cat and about half as smart. No value in future study of this species. What have we here? A human being, or a very close approximation. Chronological age, mid-20s. Physical age, 47. Grossly overweight, unnecessarily ugly. Otherwise would recommend it for the museum. Apart from that, of no value or interest.
List it to Red Dwarf. We have in our midst a complete smeg pot. Brains in the anal region. Chin absent, presumed missing. Genitalia, small and inoffensive. Of no value or interest.
Thanks to enlightenment, evidence of primitive humor. The human has knowledge of irony, satire, and imitation. With patient tuition, could maybe master simple tasks.
Lister to Red Dwarf. Displays evidence of spoiling for a rumble. Seems unable to grasp simple threats. With careful pummeling, could possibly be sucking tomorrow's lunch through a straw.
Thanks to enlightenment, the human is under the delusion that he is somehow able to bestow physical violence to a hologram.
Lister to Red Dwarf. The intruder seems to be blissfully unaware that we have a rather sturdy hollow whip in the munitions cabinet. Unless he wants his derriere minced like burger meat, he better be history in 2 seconds flat.
Thanks to enlightenment, recon mission complete. Transmit with speed. Enlightenment, quickly, please.
Lister, was he the first Liverpool fad in space?
I don't know. Today's quiz, question number one. On this day in 1884, the first roller coaster in America opened in Brooklyn, New York. Known as the Switchback Railway, it travelled approximately 6 miles per hour and cost a nickel to ride. The new entertainment was an instant success, and by the turn of the century, there were hundreds of roller coasters around the country. Which Irish singer-songwriter released
Ronan
a song?
Ronan Keating, Life is a Roller Coaster.
And the year, please?
2001.
I'll give you, 2000. Well done. Question number two. James Smith, an American musician, celebrates his birthday today, born on this day in 1950. He was part of an American Philadelphia soul group that achieved their greatest chart success in the 1970s. What was the group? They had 12 consecutive R&B top 10 hits, including Stop, Look, Listen.
Four Tops.
No. You Are Everything.
The Real Thing.
No, and You Make Me Feel Brand New.
Oh, God.
You're nearly there.
Yeah, I know.
You're so nearly there.
I know. Move on. I'll come back to that one.
Okay, the last question was, on this day in 1978, Rizzo, Frenchie, Marty, Sandy and Danny hit the big screen in a film which was based on which 1971 musical? Rizzo, Frenchie...
Grease.
Yes.
1971. Was that
the musical was in 1971 and the film was in 1978.
Is it The Four Seasons?
No.
Another one? You Make Me Feel Stylistics?
Well done. Yeah, right, got there in the end, you see.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning, old boy.
Good morning.
How are we today?
Very well, thank you.
Yes, not surprised you didn't go to Primark yesterday looking at the queues outside.
Queues were absolutely horrendous, isn't it? The idea that Britain's not going to become a nation of shoppers again was certainly, I think, dismissed by the queues outside Primark. Night Town apparently was very busy. Bicester Village was absolutely packed. So who knows, maybe there's a greater sentiment and greater appetite for shopping than many had predicted.
All you need is for Wetherspoons to open again and things will be back to normal.
The UK will be back in business.
Yeah. Do you go to Wetherspoons at all?
Can't say I do, no.
Is there one in Cobham?
Not that I'm aware of. It
really?
No,
it's a bit too upmarket for Wetherspoons, isn't it?
Maybe.
Boom, that was a quick turnaround on the markets. Not too good on Europe yesterday, but the Dow Jones bounced back and the Nikkei in Japan up 5% today.
Yes, yeah, certainly a significant turnaround in markets as US stocks actually edged higher in what was a volatile trading session after the Federal Reserve followed through with its pledge to buy corporate bonds under an emergency lending program, which may include a wider variety of purchases. Certainly helped market sentiment. S&P closed up 0.8% after swinging from a loss of as much as 2.5%. Though markets, I think, still remain nervous about a range of factors, the potential for a second wave of the coronavirus pandemic, seen rising infection rates in US states, 20 US states, I think, have seen an increase there. We've seen, of course, outbreaks in China as well. Economic data is only very slowly recovering, as been demonstrated by the data that we saw from China yesterday. Travel bans could remain in place for a prolonged period of time. Anthony Fauci, the director of National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases in the United States, said the travel ban between the US and the UK could persist for months. Given the turnaround we've seen on Wall Street, the better trading in Asia, no surprise we are looking at a bounce back in Europe this morning as well. Currently calling the FTSE up 155 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 383 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 148 points.
You seem to be having a bit of difficulty deciphering the UK unemployment figures.
Well, we've just had the numbers coming through just in the last few minutes, so it'll probably take a little bit of time to go through them. Economists are expecting a sharp increase in the unemployment rate. That didn't happen. Market was looking for a figure close to 4.7%. Actually remain unchanged, they said, according to the Office for National Statistics, at 3.9% in the period between February to April. There was a sharp increase in the benefit claim rate. That jumped 528,000. That was much higher than expected, and a dip in hours worked. So perhaps seeing a significant reduction in the participation rates. We'll have to go through the figures quite closely. As I say, they were expected to increase. I think it's a sign, actually, the furlough programme is protecting jobs, at least for now, Remember the furlough job retention scheme. The 8.9 million workers are covered by the scheme in the UK. That's more than one in four. There's also a scheme to help the self-employed as well. That's been extended until October, although will be tapered down. Comes at significant cost. Thoughts the cost of that has already hit the £20 billion mark and, of course, continues to rise. So perhaps it's somewhat of an artificial picture of the UK labour market. Claimant counts has been rising. Benefit claim rate has been rising. Unemployment rate doesn't show it yet, but I think likely to do so in the future.
Yeah, so as you say, with the furlough scheme coming to an end, reading between the lines, that's when a lot of companies are going to bite the bullets and tell employees they've no longer got jobs.
Have to make a choice. Hopefully, of course, the world starts to look a little bit better. Shops in the UK, as we were talking about, opened yesterday. The lockdown measures are being eased. So some of those hardest hit sectors in the service sector, particularly the likes of retail, hospitality, may start to see those jobs coming back online and may just coincide with the tapering. So perhaps you won't see those dramatic figures as originally predicted.
And reports on Bloomberg today, Hank, saying that Boris Johnson appears finally to have seen the light and realising that he's going to have to get a deal with the EU sooner rather than later.
Yeah, there's a suggestion is that they've moved a step closer towards agreeing agreeing what can take place in terms of a compromise between the UK and the European Union. There was an hour-long video call taking place yesterday between Boris Johnson and the European leadership team, injecting fresh momentum into deadlock negotiations, according to sources on both sides suggesting that. So we wait to see exactly what that means in reality. Can they overcome some of those major sticking points and move towards a deal over the course of the next couple of months?
Any chance of the single market for goods coming back onto the table?
Well, I think what they'll be looking to do is to see how the UK can interact with the European Union. Goods is one area that they seem to have widespread agreement on. I think there's much less agreement when it comes to the likes of services, which, remember, is still a big part of the UK economy. But there'll be benefits on both sides, of course, to agreeing a process to allowing goods to flow relatively freely between the UK and the European Union.
And so what you gain on the swings, you lose on the roundabouts, though, because they're going to go down that road. Then it reduces the likelihood of a quick trade agreement with the United States.
It does indeed, and the reality is that if they do get an agreement with the European Union, they'll need to offer some pretty good deals elsewhere around the world and similar type deals. It's not like you can simply offer one set of specific deals in areas to one particular block. You need to make it more widely available, and therefore they'll be under pressure to continue to do so. And of course, there still remains lots of questions around the UK following EU standards on a range of different areas, the judicial process, the Northern Ireland Protocol. So it's not like many of these big issues have simply disappeared overnight, but there appears to be momentum on both sides to try and reach a deal.
You sound a bit down in the mouth this morning. Have you not had your sports muesli today?
I haven't had it yet, Ashley said. No, I've had a couple of calls this morning. It's held me back. But I'm ready for a bowl now.
OK, we'll let you go in a couple of minutes. But first of all, a couple of companies struggling, both BP and Jaguar Land Rover. Let's deal with BP first of all.
Yeah, BP has announced that it will make billions of dollars of write-offs and impairments and will review plans to develop some of its exploration prospects after reducing its price assumptions, anticipating the coronavirus pandemic will have long-term impact on energy demand. With the write-off, it's estimated to be somewhere between $13 to $17.5 billion. BP said the aftermath of the pandemic will accelerate the pace of transition to a lower carbon economy. BP has revised its investment appraisal long-term price assumptions. Now I think Brent will average somewhere around $55 a barrel. BP outlined plans to become net zero company by 2050, saying whatever is pumped will be decarbonized. BP scheduled to publish its second quarter results on the 4th of August. Crude prices trade low on the back of the announcement, dropping to less than $35 a barrel, nearly half of what they were at the start of the year.
And Jaguar Land Rover.
India's Tata Motors, owners of Jaguar Land Rover, forecasting a significantly weaker quarter, said it would review all its businesses to save money, an effort to ride out the disruption caused by the coronavirus. The miserable outlook comes as the automaker posted a consolidated loss of more than $1 billion for the previous quarter. The lockdown ravaged its sales around the world. Last quarter revenue was down 28%, but profit was down 70%. Margins narrowed to 3.8% from the previous 9.3% a year earlier. The company added £1 billion to its cost-cutting target at Jaguar Land Rover to £5 billion for the year ending March 2021. Turn to the outlook. Foresee only a gradual recovery in sales. So sales in China has already shown the beginnings of a recovery, also seeing improvements in the US and Europe, while the rest of the world and the UK still remain under pressure.
There could be some lockdown prices out there. You're not tempted by a new Range Rover?
I tell you, if you live in my part of the world and you do the school run, you think Jaguar Land Rover are doing incredibly well. So,
Doesn't everyone in Copenhagen have a Range Rover?
There's a fair few of them, it has to be said. There's a fair few of them.
All right, foreign exchanges, please.
Coming from Monaco, you know, I don't know.
There are quite a few around here as well, has to be said.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 126.5. Euro dollar coming in at 113. You're going to get 1 euro, 11.5 cents for your British pound this morning.
OK, go and have your oats.
Thank you, sir.
Talk to you in the morning. Hank Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
An 18-year-old man has been stabbed in Aix-en-Provence. The stabbing occurred in the west of the city shortly after 7 p.m. on Monday evening. The victim was taken to hospital in Marseille. Police have appealed for any witnesses to come forward as they investigate the reason for the attack. In other news, a 64-year-old man has died in a car accident after hitting a tree head-on. The accident occurred on Monday evening, shortly after 5:30 p.m. on the Chemin de la Borède in Le Canet. Emergency services were unable to save the victim as traffic was diverted in the area. Local police have launched an investigation to determine the cause of the accident. Meanwhile, the number of people killed on the roads in France has fallen by 15.6% in May. May, which marked the last month of lockdown in France, saw 205 people die on the roads. That's 38 less than last year. The months of March and April, during which the French were in lockdown, also unsurprisingly marked a spectacular decline. The drop in the number of deaths mainly concerns motorists, with 52 fewer people killed. Motorcyclists, however, were on the rise, with an additional 21 killed, as well as cyclists, with 7 additional deaths compared to May last year. After 4 weeks of testing for COVID-19, the Principality's screening campaign has ended. According to figures, almost 35,000 people were tested and less than 1% of the population have been exposed to COVID-19. For those who may have missed the chance to be tested, all residents and employees in the Principality can still be tested on a voluntary basis and completely free of charge for 4 more weeks on Tuesday the 23rd and 30th of June and Tuesday the 7th and 14th of July at the Espace Léo Ferré from 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Meanwhile, 4 European countries, including France, have signed a pre-order for millions of COVID-19 vaccines with the British pharmaceutical company AstraZeneca, designed to provide for all EU members. The doses would be available at the end of 2020 if the group's current trials prove successful. After a month's trial, the city of Cannes has announced plans to extend the new cycling path, which was set up during the lockdown. The path will run from La Croisette to Palm Beach, much to the delight of local cyclists. France's Secretary of State to the Minister of the Interior, Laurent Nunez, will be in Dijon this morning following 3 days of violent clashes in the Griselle district of the city. 150 additional officers were deployed to the area on Monday evening. A judicial investigation has been opened to determine the circumstances of the violent clashes, which are thought to have broken out between rival gangs. Authorities aim to identify those involved, bringing them to justice as soon as possible. Meanwhile, following pressure from police, the French government has backed down on a ban on chokeholds during arrests. Last week, French Interior Minister Christophe Castaner announced the government would ban the use of chokeholds following protests over French police brutality and racial injustice unleashed by George Floyd's death in the US. But French police responded with 5 days of counter-protests, arguing that the ban deprived them of a key tool to subdue unruly suspects. They also objected to being compared to police in the US. Finally, a recent survey published on Monday has shown that 41% of respondents found the French President Emmanuel Macron rather convincing during his speech on Sunday. 6% said he was very convincing, and 53% claimed he was not convincing. It was Macron's fourth address since the start of the COVID-19 epidemic, in which the President announced the lifting of lockdown measures in France.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Football fans on big screens, new camera angles and piped-in crowd noise will be some of the features when the English Premier League resumes tomorrow night. Some viewers will be given the option to listen to games with or without crowd noise, but players will not hear the noise.
Didn't realise, yeah, it's Arsenal-Man City. I can understand you not being interested in Aston Villa, but 9:15 kick-off?
That's too late for me.
Arsenal-Man City? No?
Players have also been told they must not surround officials to protest decisions and there should be no spitting or nose-cleaning on the pitch. There are two games tomorrow night with the full programme over next weekend. I think I'd rather listen to it without the artificial crowd noise to see what the players are saying. You know, to mind their P's and Q's, weren't they? It's back! Here's the latest from BBC Sports.
Hey!
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Tom Gale at the BBC Sports Centre. Arsenal are away to champions Manchester City on Wednesday as the Premier League season restarts following the enforced coronavirus break. Manager Mikel Arteta says the club have to convince striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang to extend his future stay with the Gunners. The Gabon international's current contract expires next summer, with the 30-year-old saying the decision on whether to sign a new deal in North London is possibly the most important of his career. Arteta feels optimistic a new deal will be signed.
I think it's our responsibility to make him feel that this is the right next step in his career. In order to do that, he needs to feel valued. I think he needs to feel that he belongs to us and we want him. And then he really needs to believe that we can take this club forward the way we want to do. And he's going to be a key player to do that. I think at the moment I'm extremely happy with how he's been performing and behaving. I think I've got a really good relationship with him when we can discuss face to face a lot of things, and so far as I'm aware, I think he's very happy at the club.
The other match on Wednesday sees second bottom Aston Villa welcome Sheffield United. Manager Dean Smith says the Premier League has done everything possible to make his players feel safe and they're ready to fight for survival.
The players feel comfortable, feel safe. We're getting tested bi-weekly. Thankfully, so far, nobody has tested positive at this football club within the 9 tests that we've had. So the players feel confident. They've been included in all the discussions along the way, as have the managers as well. We're all set to go now. And they just want to play football.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Guess things must be getting back to normal then.
It's looking that way, isn't it?
Formula One, the Mercedes engine chief, is to leave the firm. Andy Cowell led Mercedes through the development of the turbo hybrid engine, which has seen the team dominate the sport for the past 7 seasons. Mr. Cowell, who's 51, says he's leaving Mercedes to seek a new engineering challenge. He'll leave the firm at the end of June, but will work with his replacement, Hywell Thomas, to help the transition to a new leadership. Rugby Union. World Rugby remains at odds over how to reschedule the 2020 calendar following a meeting on Monday, although the prospect of a global fixture agreement remains alive. Key figures recognise the need for a revamped schedule, but clubs and unions have yet to agree on how the remainder of the year will look following the coronavirus pandemic. More talks will now take place as a matter of urgency, with the World Rugby Council meeting scheduled for Japan at the end of the month. And in racing, Royal Ascot gets underway behind closed doors later today, and without the presence of the Queen, who'll no doubt be watching on TV. Jockeys will wear face masks and there will be none of the traditional glitz and glamour. The feature race on the opening day is the King's Stand Stakes, which is off at 4:35 French time. It's a Group 1 race over 5 furlongs with Batash, partnered by Jim Crowley, the odds-on favourites.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaraz Sea and the Var, the general situation is a depression, 1,012 millibars, stationary between Corsica and continental France. Winds are variable or westerly, force 1 to 3, the sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,013 millibars, and the outlook for Wednesday, showery, force 4 to 6, southwesterly winds, moderate seas and good visibility. The North Corsica winds are southwesterly, force 4 to 6. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,012 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 4 to 6 westerly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
A couple of rumbles of thunder in JLP yesterday afternoon.
Were there really?
Didn't amount to anything. Well, sounded nice though.
Didn't hear it in Nice.
No, okay. Sunshine and afternoon showers today with more thunder around inland. Light to moderate southwesterly winds. High of 23 to 25 degrees today. Overnight lows 18 degrees on the coast, 16 degrees inland with partially cloudy skies. Wednesday and Thursday, sunshine and showers. Highs of 22 to 25 degrees. Finally.
A new study has shown that long periods of loneliness make smoking habits worse. According to the study, being alone increases both the likelihood of starting smoking and the number of cigarettes smoked per day. Researchers at Bristol University used genetic and survey data from hundreds of thousands of people to conclude that loneliness is a direct cause of smoking. Possible explanations include cigarettes being a source of comfort or simply provide a familiar activity that can fill long periods of time. But in a cruel, vicious circle, smoking has also been suggested to increase people's loneliness, likely due to the nicotine interfering with dopamine in the brain.